podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the West London Sport QPR podcast. I'm joined here by Ben Kosky. We smashed open our breaking case of emergency jar, and here's Ben. Welcome back, Ben.
And thanks, dude. Nice.
We have former QPR striker Kevin Gallen, fresh back from a trip to Germany. So, first things first, gents. A 1-1 draw with Swansea last Saturday. A game QPR really should have won. This free. Very presentable chances to see off a solid but largely unadventurous Swansea side. I know you were at the game, Ben, so I'll come to you first. What was your take on the A, the performance, and B, where you see QPR at the moment?
Well, I think with regard to the performance, I felt there was a lot of similarities really to the previous home game against Sheffield United. Because ultimately it's a game that probably should have managed to win. And just towards the end of the game, in that last half hour or so, you got the feeling Swansea are going to press strongly and potentially get an equaliser, which is, of course, what happened. But I think if you look at the first hour or so, it was very positive stuff, really. I felt Jamal Lowe certainly fitted in nicely, brought something a bit different to the attack. Lyndon Dykes, for me, generally I thought linked well with him, and there was certainly a bit of a drop once he went off. I felt towards the end, I think it was a case of perhaps sitting a bit too deep, inviting pressure, and then they've ended up conceding, which did look likely at that point. So you know, depends, as always, how you look at a draw. Do you see it as a point gained or two dropped? I think this one, probably they will look at as two dropped. And, where you see the situation at the moment, I guess you look at the league table. It's quite packed in that centre, isn't it? But they look very solidly mid-table at the moment. I think the thing that obviously you have to add on to that is that it is so close. Anyone that's in that bunch with a good run can still challenge for the top six as well.
Okay, now Dykes went off with an illness sort of early in the second half, and Rangers, I felt, sort of lost their shape a bit and sort of didn't really cope when he wasn't on the field, just that link-up play and the fact that he could occupy centre-halves. Now, we know that Millwall made a bid for Dykes, which was turned down by QPR. Although he's not a player that scores that many goals, I thought him not being there showed sort of his importance to the team. But, I mean, where do you stand on this, Kev? I mean, we've seen Man United have gone out and signed, you know, about Weghorst on loan, who's, for me, a very un-Man United type player. But there's sort of comments I've read in the paper today from Ten Hag and various others about the importance of a big man to occupy the strikers and the space it creates. I mean, is there with Dykes, although he doesn't score that many, do you think that he still plays an important role in the team? And do you think that type of striker is coming back in vogue?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about the big sort of centre forward Dykes type who tries to occupy it. Look, one thing, it's a tough gig, the lone striker role. Because, one, I've said it probably loads of times on here in the past year, it's a tough gig because, one, you're expected to score goals. Two, you've got to hold the ball up, link the play. Three, you've got to occupy the two centre-halves. And they're the main reason. And that's a tough gig because you're doing all that, you're holding the ball up, you're laying it, and then you've got to get in the box and score. So, and then the two sort of like wingers, are they wingers? They're like the new style wide men are more, they come in from out to in instead of going down the line and putting crosses in. So to play for QPR is a tough gig for the centre forward because we don't really put the ball in the box early and quickly. And that would probably be the best thing for Dykes for his style of play, of having early balls coming down from wingers where our wingers sort of come inside and have a shot or, you know, link. So it is a tough gig. Are they in vogue? I think there's always a place for a big centre forward in any squad. You have to have options. And also, we need another striker as a backup, because if Dykes does get injured or gets ill or whatever, and I wasn't at the game against Swansea, but everyone I spoke to said as soon as he came off, QPR lost a little bit of shape and we were a poorer team when he came off. So we need, I'll go back to it, we need to get in the transfer market and get another striker, I think, just because the team needs backup. Because if Dykes does get injured, who's going to be that that big centre forward who's going to hold the ball and link the play up?
Yeah. I mean, predominantly in his QPR career, he has played up front on his own. He did have his sort of best run of success when he played up top with Charlie Austin season before last. I mean, the move for Jamal Lowe's goal was a great move. It was through the middle, good link-up play between Roberts, Dykes and Jamal Lowe, putting a fine finish. But you think now if Rangers were to sort of sell him now, is it a danger of, well, he's playing up top with someone else? This perhaps could be a kind of chance for him to, you know, show better form in front of goal?
I don't think, unless they've got a straight away, if Dykes leaves, they have to have someone in place to sign straight away, because Ben said it a minute ago, are we 4 points off the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, we're four. You put a good run. If you've got ambitions of trying to get into the playoffs, you don't sell your only striker. I mean, he's the only real number nine. And Jamal Lowe is not, for me, very good player. Will run, and he ain't a number nine where he stands up there, backs into defenders, and try and link the play up. So you don't sell unless you have a ready made replacement. But I've been saying they need, if they were to sell Dykes, they'd need to get two strikers in. For me. They need another striker. If you keep Dykes, they need another striker as well of that type to help the team. I mean, what is it? We won one game in 12. Is that right? One game in 12?
Yeah.
And we're still 4 points off playoff. You turn those draws into wins and you're in the playoffs. It's all to play for. So you don't sell players unless you've got ready-made replacement.
Yeah. Well, some team news we had in this morning. Ethan Laird looks unlikely to play against Hull. But the good news is that the hamstring injury he sustained late in the first half on Saturday doesn't look serious. So Neil Critchley did say this morning that, you know, they're kind of hopeful that he could be back for next week, or if not the midweeker against I think Sunderland next week, the week after next. But then we sort of roll into on Tuesday, we have the closure of the transfer deadline window. It doesn't, by the sounds of it, look like there's much imminent at the moment happening, but you know, all that can change at the last minute, as it often does at QPR. But Kev, I'm just wondering, from a kind of a player's perspective, what transfer deadline sort of 48 hours like? Because there are players like George Thomas who looks desperate to leave, but he's not fit at the moment, and sort of other players on the peripheries. Have you been in that position where you're looking at the window and trying to get out from somewhere? What's it like?
It did happen to me, when I left to go to Plymouth on loan. It was sort of, you're not in the plans, or this, that and the other. There is a few players, I would say, at QPR who the manager would like to probably unload and probably get replaced. I mean, there's George Thomas, I think your favourite, Nico, Ian, Nico Hamlinen. I mean, the problem is, does anyone want them for starters? There's so many scenarios in transfers and this, that and the other. One, does anyone want to sign you? Two, do you want to leave, or do you want to just sit back and chill, not chill out, but got good wages, no real pressure? And three, there's like money involved. Are they going to take over your contract? So there's so many scenarios in transfer dealings. And then, like you said, on Tuesday, and then there's a bit of a panic. So if you sell someone, you're trying to bring someone in. It's like a domino effect. Well, we offload him, then we can buy him, and then it just all goes around. Do you know what I mean? We sell him, we get the money to buy him, and it all goes around in like in a roundabout. So very sort of difficult times for, you know, players who feel that they've not really got a future at the club. So they will be trying to get out, but you like to George Thomas, if you're injured, it's even tougher because no one is really going to sign a player who's injured. They want, if you're going to get signing, they come straight in and play. So it's a tough few days coming up for everyone.
Is it often in that position for players where you're told you're not part of the plan, but it's almost down to the player to find someone that will take him? You know, the agents, the players themselves trying to just find out, or do the club, other clubs largely quite good at sort of trying to find somewhere for you to go on loan?
I think sometimes they put out facts and send to all clubs that, and unfortunately I was at Luton, a fax went out and my name, it was, my face was on it. I was like, I thought it was Crime Stoppers. This man can go. And my brother was at Millwall at the time, and he went, Kevin, we just had a fax from Luton, and your face is on there, and you're available for transfer. I went, really? So I've gone steamed in straight into the manager. What's all this? I've got a picture of, what's all this about? Didn't even tell us. There was three players, and I was one of them. So, yeah, there's a lot of talk, and sometimes the players are not in the, they don't know what's going on behind their back. The manager might see to your face, go, yeah, we really like you, we want you to stay. And next thing, he's sending a fax behind your back that he wants you out. So that those things happen as well.
Yeah. So it is literally a transfer list then. That does exist, a list.
There will be a list, and everyone will talk in there. And there'll be, and agents obviously we're talking, they'll be ringing up. They'll have relationships with clubs. So, i.e. if George Thomas, then the agent might be saying, a club might say, I need a midfielder, attacking midfielder. And then they'll say, well, I've got George Thomas. It looks like he's wants to leave QPR and he's surplus to requirements. And it goes on like that. So many scenarios.
Mm. And Ben, I know you're a huge fan of the transfer window. What do you think? Do you think QPR need to, you know, make many changes to what they have in the squad? I mean, Stefan Johansson played 60 minutes in the reserves in the week, and there are players like Taylor Richards now sort of showing they are sort of edging towards full fitness. Do you think there's much that needs doing?
Ian, I always think less is more when it comes to transfers, or quality over quantity, however you want to put it. I think that, to me, if QPR are looking to do anything in terms of recruiting someone to come in, I think the thing that would concern me most, and Kev has already spoken about the need for another option up front, the thing that concerns me most at the moment is, what is the plan B if Kenneth Powell gets injured? Because I don't see an obvious backup at left back. I imagine what would happen is one of the centre backs would be moved out there, maybe Clark Salter, who's left footed, maybe Jimmy Dunn, but I'm not sure that would be either of those an ideal scenario if you're, you know, just say, for example, talking about someone having to fill in for maybe 2 months or something like that. So for me, that would be the area that I'd be thinking, can we do something? But of course, we've just been speaking about, you know, the situation of players leaving the club. And I think a lot of fans perhaps don't realise that there is not quite a one-in, one-out situation. But when you've got a tight budget, it is almost the case that if you're looking to get someone in, so you've got to get someone off the books first. We saw that, I think, earlier in the window with Jamal Lowe coming in, albeit on loan, but first you've got to sort out Macaulay Bond's contract and get him off the books. So I think what I would say is, it'd be a big surprise if there was huge activity between now and Tuesday, but for me, that would be the area I would be most concerned about, is what happens in terms of backup to Kenneth Powell, or competition for Kenneth Powell at left back, however you want to look at it.
I mean, Rangers, they're in a bit of a, I guess, a weird situation, really, because then they're 4 points off the playoffs. They're not losing regularly. They're just not winning. They're just sort of picking up these annoying draws. But you've only got to look back to 2 years ago when Mark Warburton was really under pressure. And I think they were fourth bottom in January and they went on an amazing run and they finished, what, ninth? And it just shows what can be done in the second half of the season. But I do think there is a kind of an argument that a player can come in and maybe Jamal Lowe is that player, just to kind of lift the place and sort of add some energy and excitement to the forwards, like Charlie Austin did, like Stefan Johansson did when they came in. But I really think Johansson coming back to fitness is huge. I think he's such a good player. I think he's really important to this QPR team. And, you know, he's been out for over 3 months and, you know, he almost will feel like a new signing when he does come back in.
What actually was his injury? Because
he had a heel injury.
Okay.
So it's one of the annoying ones where it's not muscular and it's not, it's just one of those ones you can't shake off and there's not really much they can do with it.
Time.
You just got to let it heal. You let the heel heal. Pardon the pun. So I think him coming back it's no surprise really when he has been fit, Rangers throughout his time at QPR have been, when he's fit and playing well, Rangers are a much better team. They fell away last season when he was sort of not full fitness and struggling a bit. And, you know, when he was the start of the season, they got such a good start and he was, you know, front and centre of that, you know, alongside Willock and Chair. So I think him coming back is a really big, big thing for QPR. So let's have a look towards the game at Hull tomorrow. I shall be going up there. Hold the front page. There are trains going. So I shall be on a train to Hull instead of having to drive up, which is hugely exciting. But Hull, they're a team that, you know, they're 16th in the table. They got absolutely waxed by QPR in the season, looked a very poor side. Sacked their manager not long after. Brought in Liam Rossinia, who was someone that was high on QPR's list when Mick Beale was being interviewed. There was I think he was on the short list to come in. He largely considered to be behind the brainchild behind Derby's sort of almost miracle survival last year. I know Wayne Rooney gets all the credit, but there's, I think, the people up there in Derby that, you know, Liam Rossinia was, you know, very much part of it. But, you know, they're a club there, they're spending some money. I think they're signing Carl Darlow, the Newcastle goalie, on loan, and they're looking at Harry Toffolo, who was one of the 4,000 players that Nottingham Forest signs in the summer. Surprise, surprise, he's surplus to requirements at the City Ground, so they're trying to get him in. So they've got a bit of money to spend, but they're sort of in that sort of limbo. They're not going to go down, they're not going to go up, but I don't think they've won at home for a good while this season. How do you see this game going, Kev?
Tough game. You know, it's not always, it's a hard one going up to Hull. It's not easy. I mean, when you just said that stat, first thing comes to my mind was they haven't won at home for ages. And the first thing I'm thinking is, are we going to do our usual and be the ones to succumb to their first victory? I hope not. Very tough game. I did say last week it would be a draw, 1-1. I got that correct, I think, for the first time ever.
Stop clock right twice a day and all that.
Yeah. So I'm going to go for it again. I think we'll get a draw. Like we were talking about, we look pretty good, but with these annoying draws, we've got talent up front. I think we're going back to like the transfer situation. I was just thinking there when you were talking that we're a bit overloaded in midfield with wide players. And Ben said if Kenneth Powell does get injured, that, you know, plan B for that isn't good enough at the moment with Nico. I'm also fearful when Led is injured for too long that we haven't got suitable again. So they really need to get a fullback in, I think, in the January, in the next few days in this transfer window, because, I mean, someone said, we mentioned maybe Jimmy Dunn playing left back. No, I can't see that, not for me. And I know he's a good defender, but he's a centre-half. And it wouldn't be fair on him or the team to put him left back. So, back to the game. I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to go 1-1. But QPR, I believe, have got better players than Hull. And if they produce and prove it, they'll win. But It's just a tough game. 1-1.
Yeah. They're pretty weak defensively. Hull have let in a lot of goals this season. That's where I think Rangers can get something out of this because of that. Be interesting to see if Chris Willock plays. He didn't play, he didn't start against Swansea, but came on. But he does have a really good record against Hull. He scored up at against them last season up there. The game Rangers won 3-0. And in the 3-1 at home early in the season, he scored an absolutely fantastic goal. We rewind back to that game. Yeah, Ben, I mean, where do you see this game going?
Well, look, it's been a while since I've been on here, so I've got to project some positivity, I think. And as you've said, Hull struggled at home. It's interesting. I mean, going back to that game at Loftus Road earlier in the season, I seem to remember Hull had actually started really well. And the Colombian guy up front had knocked in quite a few goals early on. He seems to have gone off the boil, dare I say. And they have struggled. So I think sooner or later, Rangers are doing a lot of good things. They are just at the moment not putting it together over 90 minutes. And sooner or later, I think they are going to put it together over 90 minutes. And I think pretty good record against Hull. I see that continuing. I think they're going to win 2-1.
Cool. Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think I remember a game at Bristol City last year where Bristol City hadn't won at home forever and ever, and Rangers sort of, you know, won up there. So I'm not too concerned about that stat, about them not winning for ages. Maybe I should be, I don't know. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, they were pretty good against Reading. Found themselves 2-0 down, but I thought they played well. Sheffield United game, much the same. Swansea, much the same. You know, and are excellent against Preston in Critchley's first game. So I don't think they're that far away. I really don't. And you kind of think it's going to kind of come together at some stage. If you get the early goal, silence the home crowd. Yeah, I think Rangers will win this. I think Rangers are going to win it. I'm going to go 2-0. Yeah, that's what I'm going for. But I do agree with you on the fullbacks, though. I think almost... Do you think it's almost more important to get a fullback in than a striker?
Probably. I think that it would be. It's because Powell and Led, they have been pretty much both of them probably player of the season so far. Well, up there, do you know what I mean? I mean, Willock at the start of the season, if he would have carried on his form, he would have been clearing away with it. But Pal and Laird have been very consistent this season, and they're very key to the way QPR play. I mean, Laird is, you know, we talk about the wingers coming inside. He's basically our winger going on the outside, and he's the fullback. So I think we need cover. I said a hybrid type, sort of, who could play left, that would be the ideal, is someone who could play left and right back. But
can we get Angel Rangel out of retirement, perhaps?
Yeah. But you're going to either... It'll have to be someone from, like, an academy loan player, but I don't know. How many are we full up with our loans? Or
Yeah. Yeah, so, I think they're full up on the loans. I mean, unless they can turn one of those loans into a permanent...
Yeah, so that's the...
I don't think that's going to happen.
So they are... But let's... They've got to get a fullback in anyway. They've got to sign someone, because Laird's going... will be going back. They need... I mean, we've been talking about this for over a year now. They need some players in the fullback area and a striker. Mm. We're very overloaded with midfielders and attacking midfielders. We've really only got one centre forward and one fullback who's ours.
Yeah. I do think they've got
ball to play week in, week out in the Championship.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree. I think it is more important to get a fullback in. I think you've brought in Lowe. That's a striker that's better than what you had. You've still got Tyler Roberts. He's fit and scoring. He played very well, actually, on I thought, against Swansea. Tyler Roberts, I thought, it was his best game for QPR. And then obviously you've got Chair and Willock, so there's no shortage of attacking options there. But I do think, I mean, Kenneth Powell has been outstanding. I think he's been a revelation since they've signed him. He didn't have the best of starts the first couple of games. He looked maybe he wasn't the answer, but since he's sort of found his feet, he's really. And I always look at fullbacks, and if you don't notice the fullback, you know he's a good player. You know, he's very efficient. He doesn't really get caught out. He can go forward. He can defend. He's good in the air. He's just, dare I say it, there's a bit of Clive Wilson about him. Just very, very composed, very...
Well, let's see him take a penalty first before we make those kind of predictions.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. Thank you very much for joining us, gents. And join us again next week for another West Ham Sport QPR podcast. If you're watching this, like and subscribe, and we shall see you soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.